everybody. I'm Jen Garrett, internationally recognized branding consultant, attorney, and best-selling author of the books Move the Ball and Dominate the Game. My passion for football, high achievement, and pushing boundaries has helped me to get into rooms with pro athletes and power players and to move the ball in multiple male-dominated industries. Now, I'm using the same Move the Ball methodology to help thousands of people dominate their game when it comes to their brands, their careers, and creating opportunities. Join me in conversations that will elevate your career, differentiate your hustle, and accelerate you crossing the goal line. Get ready. It's time to suit up, to show up, and to move the ball. Hello, and welcome back to the Move the Ball podcast. Thanks for joining me for another episode. As you know, I'm on a mission to help you move the ball and get stuff done, including leveling up your career game. And I'm looking forward to getting into today's topic to help you do just that. It's a crucial topic, by the way, how to effectively prepare for an interview so that you can stand out from the competition and get that next great job. Before I get into the good stuff for today's show, I do have a few things to mention. And if you've been a regular listener of the show, well, you knew this was coming. It's kind of a standard thing that I do at the beginning of every show. So real quickly, if you haven't already done so, be sure that you hit that follow button wherever you are listening to the show at. That way you are always in the know for when the next episode releases. And something that I don't usually mention here at the beginning is if you're new to the show, well, first, thank you for wanting to give this podcast a listen. I hope that you find the content of this episode valuable. And if you do, then, of course, I'd love for you to follow the podcast, but also go back and check out the list of episodes that have been released before this one. There might be some other conversations with my guests or other career and productivity topics that I have talked about that you might want to go check out too. And then for everyone, whether you're new to the show or someone who's been a part of the Move the Ball movement for quite some time, as always, I would love your help in sharing this podcast with others who you think would also enjoy giving it a listen. Even just sharing it with one or two or three or more people would be awesome, and that's one way that you can help me to move the ball. Another thing that I want to mention before jumping into today's topic is you've heard me say on the show before that I'm in the process of recording the audiobook version for my Dominate the Game book, which I'm planning on finishing up the recordings in studio here over the next couple of weeks. So depending on when you are actually listening to this episode, the audiobook may already be out. So if that's your thing, go check out that audiobook and grab yourself a copy. And if it's not out just yet, well, you can always grab a paperback, ebook, or hardcover version on Amazon. And there's a link in the show notes so you can go give it a peek. Oh, and one more thing on that. I recently did an audiobook style episode of the first chapter of Dominate the Game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes as a preview. If you want to give that a listen, kind of see what the book is about if you're not familiar with it. Oh, one more thing that is something that is super, super cool that I was really excited about that I had to share here along the lines of the book is that I was recently away on military duty for a few weeks. And while I was gone, a friend of mine, he sent me a text that had a photo. And in that photo, it was an email that he had gotten from work. He worked at GE Aerospace, and there was an email that went out to all the employees with book recommendations. And guess what? Yep, my Dominate the Game book was featured in that email. So for me, I was like, oh my gosh, that's super, super cool. I'm really excited. And let's just, you know, we'll claim that as a nice little win for me. And I guess that means that I'm still moving the ball too. So yeah, I just had to share that because I don't take that lightly. It means a lot to me to see an email going out to a big company, to all their employees highlighting a book that I wrote. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool to have a well-known company like GE highlight this book on their list to their employees. So thank you for letting me share that with all of you. That's something that I just found really, really exciting. And I just wanted to pass that on because I guess I'm still, like I said, trying to keep that ball moving, and hopefully I'm dominating the game as well. All right, so let's delve into the meat of today's episode. As I said before, I'm on this mission to help you not just keep the ball moving, but to conquer and dominate in whatever it is you want to do in your career and in life. And As we go through our journey, it should be an evolution process as we continue to adapt and grow. And for me, like take this podcast as an example. When I look back at the beginning of season one, which was over 330 episodes ago, that was a long time ago, what I thought this show was going to be way back then is moving forward to today, it's not the same thing. I don't have the same thoughts or the same vision for the show. I mean, yes, it's still about moving the ball, but the show has evolved and I've taken it in directions that I never envisioned back then. I mean, such as I've been recently focused on having individuals come on the show talking about the entertainment industry and being successful in that domain, as well as in professional motorsports, including Formula One. Back in season one of the show, I never thought about any of that. And so it has evolved in many ways, including over the last couple of seasons. Something that I've been doing a lot more of is I've been incorporating more episodes where you hear just me talking instead of a conversation with a guest. And those shows have been focused a lot on career topics, as well as other important things such as how to be more productive, how to be mentally tough, how to tackle procrastination, and how to better lead and motivate others, just as some examples. And when I first started doing these solo shows, personally, I didn't think people would want to listen to them and to just hear me talk. And I thought, well, shouldn't I be featuring guests on the show and having conversations with other people? I mean, who wants to just really hear Jen Garrett talk all the time? So I really didn't think that was something that I would do much of. And so thank you for wanting to listen to me talk and share some thoughts and perspectives and things that have been helpful. I appreciate you. And if it hadn't been for the great feedback that I got from listeners about these topics and these solo episodes and how relevant and useful they were, I probably would have quit doing them. And people do reach out to me all the time about how these are valuable and they'll suggest other topics for me to do as solo episodes. So I just wanted to share that as I appreciate the feedback. I'm glad you are enjoying these kinds of shows as well, because like I said, again, I didn't think that anyone would really want to hear just me blab away. So as I continue to put out these types of solo episodes, I hope they're helpful as you look to continue to move the ball and navigate your career journey and just to have a more fulfilling life and one that you're happy and excited about. So I chose the topic for today's show because you hear me talk on the podcast a lot about getting to work with pro athletes and the branding work that I do. But not only do I work with athletes, I also get to work with a lot of corporate professionals. I mean, mainly their C-suite and other senior executives, and also some aspiring executives on their brands and how to strengthen and position those brands so that they can beat out their competition and get that next amazing C-suite or executive level role, which also means higher pay for them too. And that's always a good thing when you get some extra money in the bank. But some of the work that I do with these clients and helping them to differentiate, and that's the name of the game, differentiation, setting yourself apart from your competition and standing out. And some of that involves interview prep, whether they are doing a media interview like some of the athletes or even C-suite leaders are doing interviews for media too, or they are prepping for a job interview that they want to nail. And I'll coach them and help them prep for that. And really, it's all about how are you standing out again from the crowd and making a lasting impression so that you can beat out your competition for that job opportunity. And hopefully that opportunity is one that is going to excite you. It's larger scope. It's helping you to grow and develop as a leader into an area that you're interested and excited about. And then also hopefully there's some more money attached to that too. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to give you some tips and things to think about as you're looking to polish your interview prep skills. And even if you aren't actively interviewing, it's still good information to know for when the time comes. And then guess what? When that time comes, you can always give the podcast a listen again for a refresher, or you can make some notes today as you're listening through it this time too. One last thing that I do want to mention here, and then I'll get into specifics tied to interviews, is that if you are actively trying to position yourself to land a new role in the next year or so, meaning you're not necessarily doing a job search right now and actively searching, but you're planning to make a move in the next 12 months, I would encourage you to check out my website called thenextfirstdown.com. It has a wealth of information to help you position yourself and your brand for that next great job. All the content there is free. You don't have to give me your email or your phone number or anything. Just go check out the videos and resources there that you think would be helpful for you. And if you like what you see, Then go subscribe to the newsletter and you'll get even more great tips delivered right to your inbox. More tips on your LinkedIn profile, how to optimize that. Interview tips, again, more than what I'm providing today. Also tips on job searching, just other things that are relevant to the space. So, you know, the content on that website is designed to help you accelerate your career progression and to get to those higher paying jobs faster. And then the newsletter is going to give you more than what's on the website, again, to help you get to those roles that you want to get to at an accelerated rate. And I want you to think of the Next First Down website as your go-to career resource when it comes to keeping the ball moving in your career. Again, all you have to do is go to thenextfirstdown.com and you can check all of it out there. And there's a link in the show notes that will take you there to make it easy to get to. All right, that's enough of that. Let me get into today's topic. To help you navigate this dynamic competitive landscape that we are in and to help you wow people in the interviews, I'm going to share three key strategies to help you land your dream job. Now, first, before you step into the interview room, the first strategy is do your homework. This is so crucial. You've got to be prepared. That is the absolute key to winning the interview. And I'm going to talk about this more. On this podcast, you hear me and my guests, especially many of the NFL players, talking about how preparation is key and practice is key. And then they'll say, you play how you practice. So you've got to do the upfront work and the preparation. You cannot shortchange this part of it if you really want to set yourself apart. And so in the context of landing a job, researching the company is the first key strategy. I mean, I'm sure many of us know this, but how many actually do it? And let me get into that a little bit more, the depth of what you need to do. I mean, I'm sure some of you do. You put in some work to research high level the company, but then sometimes we think, I'm good at interviewing. I've got this and I can sell myself. I don't need to go spend all this time preparing and researching the company. I'm too busy. I've got it. Wrong. Maybe you're good at selling yourself, but still do your research. And I'm going to get into why you need to do this. And maybe for some of you, that's obvious, but for some that's listening, it might not be. And so that's why I want to highlight it. So first, let's talk about what should you be doing as part of your research process. Okay. First thing is go to their website. Okay, duh, Jen. Yeah, that's the first place to look. But it doesn't stop there. So look at their website, see what are the things they're putting on there, but also dive into recent news articles, press releases, look at the social media channels in that industry and also their own channels. Because what you want to do, and this is very important, what you are looking for is to gain insights into their culture, their values, and also recent news and initiatives. Remember, knowledge is power, and the more you know about the company, the better you can tailor your responses to showcase your fit for the role. And this is another important thing, the fit, because you need to keep in mind that when people are interviewing you, they are not just seeing if you have the background and the functional expertise and capability for a position. They are also looking to see if you are the right fit, culture fit, leadership style, do your values align with the company, etc. How are they evaluating this, you might wonder? Well, through your demeanor and how you choose to answer the questions. So the more you can interweave things that resonate with them and that align as you go through an interview, this helps show the interviewer or interviewers, and in some case, a panel of interviewers, that you are a good fit, not just in terms of your competency, but also in terms of who you are as a leader and your style. And I'm going to come back to this research part again shortly and talk about another reason why it's important. But again, do the research, do the homework, learn more about the company in depth, not only about how they're structured and all that great stuff, but their values, recent news, events, all of it. You don't need to be an expert on the company, but you want to be in the know of what's going on. And I'll come back to why here in just a second. Okay, let's move into the second strategy, the interview questions. Okay, let me take a step back though before I get there. What I want you to remember is your job is to make it as easy for them being the interviewers, to get to yes, meaning to continue you on in the process and then eventually get you to an offer. So if this is the first interview, well, most senior professionals and executives and even early career professionals, they're not going to just have one interview. you might do an HR screening or do a screening with a recruiter or someone like that, who is the first gate. And then after that, if they say, yes, green light, I think someone else should talk to them, well, then you might meet with the hiring manager or someone else on the leadership team who will be evaluating whether you move on to the next person, or it might be a panel interview or whatever. But you want to make yourself be such a compelling candidate that they want others to also talk with you in the hiring process and keep that ball moving all the way to the offer stage. So how do you do that? Well, first, this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. Make sure you dress appropriately and are put together appropriately, as remember, this is a representation of your brand and you want to stand out from the other candidates throughout this entire process. And it starts with how you present yourself, your physical appearance. So again, that is a no-brainer, but I just had to mention it. Now let's get to the interview part. And I want to emphasize this part because this is your opportunity to differentiate yourself. And if you don't do this right, you're likely not going to be picked for the job unless you are by far the best qualified person compared to everyone else. But in many cases, especially in today's competitive job market, you are competing against some very accomplished people. So you've got to knock the interview or the interviews out of the park. And I'm going to give you some tips to do that. Now, remember how I said earlier that you need to do your research? Well, this is part of that. Let me step back for a second. You need to be prepared. You need to practice for this interview or for these interviews. Now, what I'm not going to do on the show is I'm not going to tell you what questions you should practice or prep for. You can Google or you can ChatGPT or whatever and find all kinds of questions that are common interview questions, and you can pick the ones you want to practice and practice those. But you do need to do that. So the point is you need to practice and practice them out loud so you can hear yourself answering them. Heck, if you want to, you can even record yourself and listen to your answers so that you can see how polished you are or not polished, and then you can make adjustments so that you are delivering in a more effective manner. It's also great to grab a friend, a family member, or even a mirror and rehearse your answers to common questions. And if you haven't heard of the STAR method, S-T-A-R, that is a great approach and it's recommended by many experts to use. So what does STAR stand for if you don't know about it? STAR stands for situation, task, action, and result. So what were the facts? What was the task at hand? What did you do? And then what were the outcomes? So this approach will help you structure your responses effectively. They'll highlight your problem-solving skills, and also they'll help you stay on track with your accomplishments and also like talking about your actions and then how those actions led to the results. So it's a great approach to use. And then I'm just going to put that out there. If you want to hire a coach to help you prep for the interview, well, you know where to find me. And seriously, reach out if that's something you'd like help doing. I'd love to talk with you about that. Okay, so I've told you that you should practice some questions, right? Well, while people do engage my services to help them answer some of these common questions, there's more to it than that. And I'm going to share some more here to help you and how you're really going to help stand out from other people. Now, before we even think about answering any questions, so you can go Google and get your list of questions, but don't even bother answering any of those right now. First, you need to think about your value proposition. A few weeks ago, I did a podcast on this show that focused on ways that you can stay marketable in today's competitive environment. And it is a highly competitive market out there right now. And on that show, I talk about your unique value proposition and figuring out what that is and then showcasing it. And by the way, there's a link to that in the show notes, so you can go give that a listen. But right now, you want to think about your unique value proposition. And this is part of your preparatory process. You need to think through, okay, I'm going to interview for this position. The things that this role are really looking for are X. I bring X and these other things to the table. This is what I want to highlight during the interview process. I want people to know that I'm recognized in the industry for these things, and then I'm communicating my expertise and my value in that space throughout the conversations I'm having through this interview process, and I'm showing these people why I would be a good fit for this role. So that's what you need to do first. You need to write down what is your unique value proposition. What is the answer to that? And if you are struggling with that other podcast that I just mentioned, that there's a link in the show notes, I gave you some questions to think about to figure out that value proposition. So you might want to give that one a listen if you're struggling here. Okay, so now You've got your unique value proposition crafted out. You've written it down. Then what you need to do is think through what I'd say are like 5 to 10 different examples of things that you want to make sure that you communicate throughout the questions that you are asked during the interview so that you can help sell yourself as to why they need to get to yes and pick you for this role, or at least keep you moving in the candidate selection process and then get to yes at the end of it and extend you an offer. All right, so then as you're practicing these common questions, you need to think through how are you going to incorporate these examples into your answers? And practicing these things is really going to help with this. Now, let's say you're going through an interview and you're coming towards the end of it and you didn't get to bring up something you really wanted to. First, don't panic. You can still bring it in. How do you do that? There's always that question at the end where they'll say something like, is there anything else you think we should know about you? So you can bring it up then. That's one spot. Or here's something else that you can do. You can strategically ask them a question that allows you to bring it up. So let me give you an example of this. So let's say I'm going for an interview that is focused on a growth and business development role. And now this part is true about me. I've been in positions where I've expanded product offerings into adjacent markets. And so let's say I didn't get to talk about that, but I knew that would be helpful based on the job description. And I really wanted them to know that I had done that in my past experiences. So let's say I had done my research on this company. And through reading about the company in various articles, I knew that the company was entering into an adjacent market space. And so I could say, you know, I read blah, blah, blah about the company and how they were looking at entering this other market in whatever product space, insert there. I'm curious as to what challenges have you found? Have you had to shift your brand positioning to drive revenue growth? Where do you see additional opportunities in this space? And the reason I wanted to ask you this is when I was working for Y Company, one of the things that I was responsible for was looking at how we took commercially developed technologies in the aviation space designed to save fuel. And then we looked at how could we position them in the military market space, not focused on fuel savings, but rather a different pain point, which was increased mission success. And some of the things we did were X, Y, and Z. So that was an example that I've done. But again, please, I'd love to learn a little bit more about your experience in that approach and what you've done, and then talk about whatever the thing is that they're doing in their company. And I'd love to learn about your strategy going forward or something like that. That might not be the best example, but it gives you an idea of how I wanted to talk about how I had helped pursue entering an adjacent market space. And I wanted them to know what I did. But instead of just bringing it up and saying, oh yeah, one other thing I'd like you to know about me is blah, 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 I turned it into a question based on research I had done in the company and then augmented that question with my example as the reason for why I was asking them that question. And so it's just another way to make sure you're emphasizing something that you wanted to get across, but doing it in the form of the question and then reinforcing it with your experience. So I found that that is a great way to bring something in instead of just adding it at the end in that catch-all question. So again, my point to that is I asked them a question about their business and it showed that I was in the know about their company and something they were doing. And then it also allowed me to showcase my expertise in doing something. So I would think through how you can leverage that tactic in the interview process if you forgot to mention something critical that you really wanted to get in there. And then again, what it's doing is it's setting me apart. It's leaving an impression in the interviewer's mind that, hey, this Jennifer Garrett girl, they probably wouldn't say girl, but this Jennifer Garrett, she's done her homework on our company. She knows what we're pursuing and she's got relevant experience. Now, remember, I talked about researching the company. By researching the company, I was able to phrase that question that I just discussed, but that's only one thing. You also want to do your research so that when they ask you what questions you have for them, you can leverage your findings to ask questions that other people who are being interviewed might not ask. So you can ask a question like I just suggested, showcasing your knowledge about something they're doing, but also you can ask other questions, even if you're not trying to reinforce something that you forgot to bring up in your background. And this, my friends, is another way to get the interviews thinking that, wow, yes, you are the candidate that is the strong contender to get the offer because you've done your research, you're asking questions that other people aren't asking, you're thinking through things. And so what you want to do is you're trying to ask questions tied to the company that make the interviewer go, that's a great question. And I guarantee you, they will take note that you asked it. And this is one of the places where when people hire me, that I'm really making the money for them. I tell my clients questions that they should be asking because I'm also researching the company to prep, to help them prep. I'm looking at who the interviewers are and all of that. And I'm using my knowledge and experience set to drive questions that I don't think other candidates will ask. And by doing so, I'm helping my clients to be more memorable. And that's what you want when it comes to interviews. You want to leave a lasting impression. This is one way that you do that, by engaging your interviewers in critical thinking questions. Now, don't try to stump them. It's got to be a question that makes sense too. But if it's one that makes them pause to think before the answer and it's relevant, that's the type of question that you want. And I'm going to go on a quick tangent here. I mean, the same thing when it comes to this podcast with the guests that I've had on my show. I do my research and I'm very deliberate about asking questions that people don't normally ask because I want to have great conversations for one, but it also leaves a great experience with my guests, a memorable one. And then they appreciate the show so much more and they're also willing to share it more because the questions are not the common ones that they get. So anyway, my point to that is do your research so that you can ask questions that others aren't asking as another way to set yourself apart. Okay, I've got one more strategy for you, and that's to treat gatekeepers with respect and make an impression by being kind. Seems obvious, seems simple. I mean, it's nothing profound, but it's something that people don't think about. And so who is a gatekeeper? Well, that's anyone you come into contact with prior to the interview, such as a recruiter, a receptionist, a secretary, or an admin, an office manager, even a security guard at the door. All it takes is one negative behavior or comment to be passed on by one of those people, and you may not get the job. And I think in some ways this goes without saying, but being rude to an admin or not thanking someone kindly for their help or for a cup of coffee or a water or taking your coat, all of that is part of the process too. And it's a reflection of your image and your brand. So that kind of behavior will reflect poorly on the people's impressions of your character. And so I think this is obvious, but sometimes people don't think about it. So that's why I want to bring it up. And also, in today's day and age, oftentimes we aren't going in for an in-person interview. It's all virtual. So how do you deal with the gatekeepers in that case? Well, again, be kind to all the gatekeepers who were involved in the process, the admin who set up the interview or someone else who came into contact. And again, you want to set yourself apart. So by being nice to others, not just the interviewers, it goes to your character and who you are as a professional. For me, I mean, I enjoy doing things that most people don't expect. I mean, that kindness thing, like being kind, giving someone a smile, just asking a random person how their day is going. I mean, I eat that stuff up. I love it. And for me, tying it back to this conversation, I mean, I'm not currently interviewing for jobs. But what I am doing is I'm looking at how I can create other business opportunities and cultivate those. And if I'm dealing with an administrative person or a security guard or anyone like that in the process, I'm always treating them with kindness, with respect, and I'm showing them that I genuinely care about them as a human being and that they matter and are appreciated. And what that does is they then talk about you to the person that you are meeting with, whether it's a business opportunity for me or an interview for you to get a job. I mean, that is another way to set yourself apart because so many people are caught up in the transaction piece and they are narrowly focused on that. So they forget about the other people who are involved in the process of the interview. And I mean, that's just a little tiny thing that you can do to set yourself apart. I'll give you an example. I won't give you specifics because I'm still cultivating a relationship and creating some opportunities, but someone in my network connected me with somebody else and we were going to have a meeting. And it was just an introductory meeting. So, I mean, we're still very exploratory stage. And in our email communications, he also included his admin to set up the meeting on the calendar. And so afterwards, so I thanked her for setting up the meeting. And then after we had the meeting, I sent her another note. And I said, hey, I really had a great conversation with this person. Thank you so much for helping me to get this meeting set up. Just sweet, simple little message like that. And that goes to another point. You can the follow-up and sending people notes afterwards too. But I mean, I sent it to her and she was like, oh, thank you so much. And of course, like people remember how you make them feel and everybody wants to feel appreciated. So just take an extra 10, 15 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever. Make sure that you are just acknowledging people and thanking them and being kind, and it will pay off. I promise you it will, because there are so many people that do not do it. Yes, you want to follow up with interviewers. Yes, it's good to follow up with them, but also send a nice note to the other people you have interacted with. You know, dear Jane, I just had my interview with Carson. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thank you for your help in setting that up. Something short, something sweet like that. It's just acknowledging people and showing that you appreciate them. All right. I mean, I think for me, and maybe I'm harping on this a little bit too much, but that's always been something that I've done, which has helped me to set myself apart in my corporate life as I was navigating up the Fortune 50 senior leadership ladder while I was in my 20s. And so I was doing it pretty early in my career, and my peers were a decade or two older than me. Heck, sometimes 3 decades older than me. So, I mean, this has always been a part of my approach, was just treating people as human beings and showing that you care. And I think it's important when it comes to interviewing for roles as well. So I wanted to highlight that too, because you will be in the minority of people that do it when you do it. So it's another way to set yourself apart. All right. So that's what I have for you today. There are other basic interview tips out there. And yeah, I could have talked about those, but I didn't want to because I didn't want the focus of the show to be on things that you could just Google and find that are common things people talk about. I want to bring you additional value on this podcast. I want to give you differentiated strategies, things that I did to set myself apart and not be a part of the norm. I mean, that's kind of always been my approach. If you've heard me talk about this on the show, even with some of my guests, when I'll ask them like what makes them tick. I mean, for me, I don't want to be like everybody else. That's something that's always driven me to push and be different. I mean, that's why, in part, I have the 7 degrees, is because I wanted to be different. I mean, you don't need 7 to be different. And there's more to that than just wanting to be different. But in things that I've done, I've always looked at how can I set myself apart? How can I not be like everybody else? And so these tips that I'm telling you are ways that you can be different than the norm and set yourself apart. And honestly, that's why people hire me, to help them stand out and not be like the crowd, so that they can accelerate their path and get to where they want to go more quickly. All right, I have said enough on this topic. Once again, I've got more content out there on the nextfirstdown.com website. So if you're interested in more resources to help you navigate your career, go check that out. I mean, topics there are tips on how to be a more effective networker, challenges with navigating an executive career and how to overcome them, and so on. So click the link in the show notes. It'll take you to all of that. Again, it's free, so go check it out. And once more, if you like what you heard today and you haven't already done so, hit that follow button to be in the know for future episodes. And also, please share the show with some others too, especially if you have any friends or colleagues who are actively looking for a job. These tips will be helpful for them, so please pass the show along. And if you're looking to hire someone in this arena, you can always go to my website, www.getinsidethehuddle.com. Yes, there's a link in the show notes. Send me a note there, and I'm happy to see how I can help. All right, that's what I've got for you for today. Thanks again for listening. As always, you are appreciated. And until next time, keep striving for greatness and make sure that you suit up, you show up, and you move the ball. Thanks for listening to today's show. If you found this episode to be helpful, do me a favor, leave me a review, and also share the show with a few friends too. Next, if you're looking to take your career to that next level, unlocking the path to executive heights and high income opportunities, go to www.thenextfirstdown.com and join the newsletter. This will give you priority access to tips and strategies that will help you accelerate your career today, not tomorrow, not next week, today. As always, I'm here to be in your corner and help you to move the ball. Until next time.